I had decided that it was the story of my life at that point. It was an extremely pure project. It was true to my heart. It was everything that was near and dear to me. And again, there was no plan B, you know? It was all in.
That's how success happens. From Entrepreneur Magazine, my name is Robert Tuckman. I self-funded, built up, and eventually sold two businesses to major players in the sports and entertainment industry. And I am fascinated by other entrepreneurial minds and what drives high-achieving people. So on this podcast, we're going to learn what they've learned and what it takes to really succeed. On this episode of How Success Happens, join me, Robert Tuckman, as Jacob Hadzadze Georgis, owner of Jacob's Pickles on the Upper West Side of Manhattan of New York, shares his journey from growing up in a family of restaurateurs to becoming himself a successful entrepreneur. Guided by his father, his mentor, Jacob honed the qualities that set him apart: a deep passion for hospitality, a strong work ethic, and a creative vision. In this episode, he discusses how these traits, along with his innovative use of pickles to elevate comfort food, helped turn Jacob's Pickles into a beloved culinary destination and staple on the Upper West Side of New York City. He talks about his incredible expansion of the brand and his other restaurants as his empire continues to grow beyond just pickles. My first question for Jacob was asking him about growing up and the influences in his life that put him on the entrepreneur track.
Yeah, definitely. So I grew up in New York, specifically beyond just New York being a great melting pot, in Queens, where we just have the best sort of cuisines from all over the world. I think I just growing up in food and then being around that environment and my family always exploring food really got me into it. I grew up with a family and grandparents that cooked at home. I had that sort of that balance between how you do things, the basics at home, then exploring just different flavors that I think as a kid, having that luxury really expands your palate. And then growing up in the restaurant business, really seeing the logistics and the mechanics of that kind of operation, I think probably gave me a really well-rounded view of food and restaurants.
Was it a family restaurant or family business that you were working in?
One of my sort of very young core memories was my dad building the restaurant himself, just making it work, coming out of working in the industry for many years, coming out of restaurant and hotel management school, taking the plunge and just figuring it out. So that was initially something that really gave me one aspect of the business, seeing that sort of full circle of it, growing up in it. I think I absorbed a lot from how you treat people, engaging with people, interacting with people, problem solving, and then the actual kind of the mechanics of operating a restaurant. And the sort of the dance of the kitchen. I think that was something that I was exposed to from a very young age, something that I was very curious about and planted a seed in me before I ever decided that I was going to get into the business. It was an extremely all hands in kind of family operation. When grandma couldn't watch me, I was in the restaurant from a very young age. There was a linen closet that was converted into a bedroom during the summer when I was out of school. Had a little TV in there. Very specific rules. It was always great being around my parents because I didn't always have that at home. I never had both of my parents at the house at the same time, you know, because they were business owners. And everybody was involved in the project. The summers were great in that respect, but from the hours of 3 to 5, from 12 to 3 during peak hours, it was off limits. I was not in the dining room. I was downstairs getting some reading done or watching the TV. And then again, from about 5 to 9 o'clock, It was just, everybody was zoned in and it was back to work. But it was, at the end of the day, it was a fantastic experience and gave me a lot of the lessons that I brought into my operations today.
So tell me, growing up, and I always have so much respect for anyone in the restaurant business, restaurant owners. I really, interviewing so many different entrepreneurs, I really find that business to be just, from the outside, obviously, one of just the most difficult, hardest working people. You really have to have a love for it. So did you know, as you got older that, hey, I want to have my own restaurant? What happened?
No, as much of a positive experience as it was, there's a lot of challenges when it comes to home life. Growing up in the industry, it's an extremely demanding, grueling business. It's something that you're working on around the clock. There's so many moving parts to a restaurant. And for that reason, I honestly thought I would never get into it. One thing led to another. An opportunity came up in Boston. The plan was to go to law school initially, decided it wasn't for me. Started getting into some design work. Eventually, I thought this was worth a try. I had this novel idea about a mac and cheese concept, which in my opinion is the ultimate comfort food. And I think it was a great cornerstone to what developed with Jacob's Pickles and Beyond. But it started with a little stand, about 400 square feet in Boston, in the historic Faneuil Hall, Quincy Market, and Faneuil Hall. And super naive about it. It was going to be easy. I thought I knew so much, having grown up in it. And I'm telling you, I got my butt kicked. Thankfully, I had my right-hand man. I had my dad, who was always a mentor for me. Very fortunate. It really gave me an edge in the business. Just having a great rapport with him, having a great line of communication. But even to that point, about a year in, I really found my rhythm and the vision that I wanted to explore with this concept after I thought I'd be there for 3 months and then back in New York for some reason. So I felt really committed. And what really drew me to it and to the, based on that experience, to the industry was that it allowed me to be engaged and creative in so many different ways. It gave me a sort of flexibility that I needed to just stay interested in the project. I could focus on the food one day. I could focus on the logistics the next day, on the guest experience the next day, on the infrastructure stuff the day after. It was always fresh. And I think that was really important for me. The primary thing that led me from that, my passion for comfort food, to really staying in that category, was the response I was getting from the guests. That was my guiding light and my driving force. Just a smile. Like, people were responding so positively. They were so excited. People were, our guests were coming back. That it's a very kind of scenario where we get a lot of tourism and people are traveling for a short stint, maybe a week. I'd see guests 2-3 times a week. And the combination of all those things made me know that this is what I want to pursue. I knew that it wasn't going to be in Boston. It had to be in New York for me. It was always New York. In fact, I met my now wife in Boston. And after having dated for many years there, knowing that the relationship was maturing into something greater, I made a point to say, it's New York. It's going to have to be New York. And that's when I started spending more time. I stepped away from the shop a little bit, tested on how I could operate with the right people. A lot of lessons along the way, a lot of turnover, a lot of changes, very kind of systems-driven operation. It was great for me because it was like super streamlined and simple, but it was also extremely new. So it gave me a chance to test the waters. For about a year, I started spending a lot more time in New York. And that's when I started exploring opportunities that led to Jacob Strickland.
See, and I always thought that you left because I know you're such a huge Knicks fan and they all found out and then business went south, but apparently not because you did meet your wife there. So
it worked out. You know, Boston has a soft spot in my heart for sure. But yeah, it had to be New York. There's no way about it. There's no city like New York City.
No, I agree. And especially having spent a bunch of years in school in Boston myself. And
there you go.
I loved it. Spending time at Fenway Park and working at Fenway Park in the summers and just the passion. There's so much passion. Fortunately, it was before the Patriots ever won or the Red Sox won. So now it'd be a lot harder knowing my friends who I went to school with who are all from Boston. I could only imagine it would be torture. But what was it with, how'd you make that move and how did you start with Jacob's Pickles and coming back to New York?
So funny enough, it was one idea coming back to New York was to launch this mac and cheese concept. And I was exploring spaces and something just didn't feel right. There was so much more I wanted to express. And Pickles was a passion of mine, but I had traveled a lot and I had all these experiences with foods that I loved that I couldn't really find in New York. And ultimately, I decided to take the plunge again. I thought I knew more than I did after having successfully launched this mac and cheese concept and decided to go into a 4,000-foot space from 400 square feet. And it was really, I had decided that it was the story of my life to that point. It was an extremely pure project. It was true to my heart. It was everything that was near and dear to me. And again, there was no plan B. It was all in. This was going to be the moment that decided whether this was ultimately my path. Came full circle. Now I was the guy actually doing construction in the space. To this day, if you look at the old kind of wood tables, those are tables that I made by hand in the space, and the big communals in the back that people either love or hate were made with my own two hands. And I take a lot of pride in that, that it gave me that opportunity to really work with my dad, first of all, and then to really make it really my own, really putting my stamp on the project and then telling my story. I think that's such a gift, but it was being able to not only have the opportunity to create something, but to have people respond so well to it. At first, after we launched, not launched, but we put the signage up, people were really curious about it. Beer, biscuits, pickles, is that Jacob's Pickles? What kind of restaurant is this? So I welcome people to come in and talk to us off the bat. That's why I came to the Upper West Side in the first place. It's such a community-driven area. You connect with people, and it's one of the few remaining true communities in New York to this day. So I welcome that sort of relationship with people and the input. And I was getting a lot of different feedback, things that were made me a little concerned about what my ideas were. You should have TVs in the space, or you should have this type of beer, or you should have grilled chicken on the menu. And I'm thinking to myself, there's 10 other places that might offer those things. We're bringing something completely new to the neighborhood, and maybe it was a great thing, but maybe it was a horrible idea, and it was everything that I had saved from my first venture, my life savings. I borrowed money from my father and I poured it all into this place. And thankfully, it resonated with people. It was exactly what the neighborhood needed. People connected with it, they welcomed it. And ultimately, it became what our vision was. It was a neighborhood hub. People were enjoying it in so many different ways, from after a run, coming in for breakfast, sitting at the bar, having a date, bringing mom and dad in, whatever the case was. We became that place that was buzzy all day long, which is, I think, hard to do from brunch until late night. And I was really proud of the fact that we could offer that kind of environment for people where they felt comfortable and welcome. And that was super inclusive.
Yeah, it's amazing. For years, as I've said, I've walked by and it's just jammed and it's incredible. And of course, with the outdoor seating post-COVID, you guys, it's incredible to see what you've built. And now we will get into it, some of the offshoots like at Moynihan Station and in Norwalk. But I want to go back to the beginning when you first opened. And that had to be really nerve-wracking. Like you said, you're putting your whole life savings in it, taking all of that, barring whatever else you could. This is it. This is you. This is your name in your city. Yeah. Take me back to that time. That must have been really stressful.
Yeah, we have a great reputation. We're some community-oriented. It's a value that was instilled growing up in a family-run small business when it really meant something to be a small business in the neighborhood or in the community. And because that was instilled in me, I brought that to Jacob's Pickles. And I just want to point to the fact that you mentioned that my name is on the building. I think that added so much added pressure. Actually, funny enough, I didn't want to name the place Jacob's Pickles. Jacob's Pickles was going to be a product that was going to be in the restaurant. A little known fact.
Interesting.
I didn't have a name that I really, other than before Jacob's Pickles, I can't say that I had a name that really brought it all together. Beer, biscuits, and pickles for me was what Jacob's Pickles is, but how do you bring all that together under one brand? And my dad looked at me and he goes, yeah, like your the pickles that you're making are great. They have such a big, they play such a big part on the menu. I love what you're doing with it. Why not Jacob's Pickles? I said, I can't name it my own name. It just feels like it. I'm like too full of myself. He said, no, Jacob, it's good. I love it. I think it's a great name. And being my mentor, I listened to him. Obviously, I like the name because of the pickle. Like that was going to be a thing. So obviously, I had bought into it, but not to encompass this whole story. But the fact that it was my story, the fact that it was this play on pickles made sense to me. So anyway, yeah, ton of pressure. The name being on the building, getting all this feedback from everybody, and just not knowing the habits and the trends of the neighborhood. There was one time that it was a quiet start when it was like maybe 8:30 and I only had a handful of tables. And the finances were tight. You know, we had just launched this thing. We're trying to be smart about it. And we didn't want to waste our team's time. So we cut a lot of people. All of a sudden, around 9 o'clock, I think it must have been about 50 people that walk into the restaurant. I'm running around, greeting people, taking orders, have my father watering table, whatever it took. Each one was a stepping stone, the lesson to where we needed to be. The day that the paper came down from the windows, it was just, I think Jacob's Pickles was highly anticipated. It took a lot longer to open than everybody expected. Everybody was curious about it. So the night comes, the paper comes down. A few people come in, similarly to the other story, totally fine, under control. I have to run up and down, which logistically is a nightmare in that restaurant, but we pull it off having the kitchen downstairs, but we made it work. So I'm running up and down, 1 second greeting guests, introducing myself, next second checking the quality control on the food. Long story short, we get a little too full at that point. But at this point, mind you, funny enough, after seeing how we handle volume and crowds at Jacobs, the restaurant at this point was half full, but we're starting to hit a wall. And I said, "Dad, stop. We can't let any more people into the restaurant." And he goes, "Jacob, no, we're going to get through this. We're going to do it. You can't have a half empty restaurant. This is the first night. The paper is down. People have to see it full." I take a deep breath, and just thinking about it, I'm stressing about it. And we just let it go, and people flowed in and out. And thankfully, everybody understood that it was the first night. People were understanding, forgiving, patient with us. But even that moment taught me a lesson of always playing the long game, always making sure no matter what, our guests leave happy. And that has actually been a guiding light for us for many years. There's been ups and downs in terms of like growth and then trying to figure out staffing and just what comes around reinforcing an infrastructure. So that has been always like a learning curve for us, much like that first day was. But yeah, it was extremely stressful. But I was lucky enough from day one that we did show great signs. Then comes a point where we had our rhythm and the operations were good. Like, I was happy with where we were. I was always room for improvement, but happy with where we were at that point. And then we decided to launch brunch. And then I'm like, what was I thinking? Brunch now has become such a cornerstone.
Yeah.
So not only Jacobs, but to Maison Pickle, we offer one of the best brunches in New York City. And I remember that first brunch after having what I had to do and feeling really confident, again, super naive about where I was and what I knew. And I remember just pacing up and down the dining room and at one point freezing, like pausing. And I said to myself, just shaking my head, what the F did I do? And then again, we kind of taking those, the understanding of our dinner service and what was needed, replicating that into brunch and just doing the right thing by the guests consistently, took us to a point where we figured it out. And we were giving our guests a great experience.
It's amazing. And it's got to be such a great feeling too, because knowing the restaurant business and how difficult it is and how many restaurants start and just close or don't make it. And it's incredible to see what you've done with Jacob's Pickles.
More from our guest, but first, a word from our sponsors.
We all want the best of both. Dessert without calories, luxury without expense. And how about security without passwords? With Okta, it's possible. We secure identity for your business so you can safely use any technology. You can build experiences that are richer and more secure, grow revenue without running up costs, and scale easily no matter your tech stack. Enjoying the best of both? It's possible. It's Okta. Okta, the world's identity company.
And we're back.
I want to ask you, how difficult and what was your mindset? Were you really worried as well when COVID hit?
We started talking about COVID after having seen what happened in Europe. We, even though we were, it was heading this way, we never anticipated what it would turn into and the amount of pressure that it would put on the operation. All that, I think, was a perfect segue, because all that work that led to us having a well-oiled machine was just dismantled overnight. The worst part, first off, was not being able to support our staff.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out how to move pieces around to make it work. We were holding strong because we thought this was going to be a two-week thing. Many people, 2 weeks out, you know, we'll be back. And then it just kept going on and on. And at that point, the goal became to salvage what we could adapt. Very important quality in hospitality, being able to adapt to the neighborhood, to people's habits, to the trends, operations, whatever it might be. From shift to shift, from brunch to dinner, we're constantly adapting. From a Friday night, Monday night, we're constantly adapting. I think as operators, we have that, we know. And also in this industry, there's ups and downs with the seasons. There's downturns. As operators, I think we know what it takes to be sustainable. But of course, COVID was beyond anything that anybody was well-versed enough to deal with. And we were just in survival mode. We had staff that took cuts in their hours. We had staff that took pay cuts. We transitioned to more of a takeout business, For me, it wasn't what I wanted from this industry. It was very transactionary.
Yeah.
We're in the people business. You want to be around people. I like what I do. I got into it for the right reasons. And like I said, with the mac and cheese, when I see people's excitement, when our food walks through the room or hits the table, that's what motivates me. I was never a big numbers guy. Now in today's market, you have to be a numbers guy. But yeah, but at that point, it was just about hospitality. And it was what it was. And even though we were losing a lot of money, the goal was to sustain our foundation. We never had a full shutdown. There was cases where we may have shut down for lunch, but we're operating for dinner.
Wow.
Other cases where our hours were pulled back, but we never fully shut down. And I think the fact that we were on the Upper West Side, such a sort of a rooted community, wasn't like other parts of New York where people were just transient. They were here and they were supporting us. And we had a certain level of continuity that carried us through to then, whatever it was, 25%, 50%. And slowly we got our sort of our operations to a point that accommodated that, but it was never the same. We lost a lot of fundamentals along the way. The habits changed, the way we did things changed, QR codes versus menus, water bottle service, the way we were sanitized, whatever, it was all new to us. And then when the point came, when things started to open up a bit, it was honestly like opening a new restaurant all over again. And not only was it one, but it was also our other location. And we were opening up everything simultaneously. So imagine having four restaurant openings at once. That was our experience. And then staffing was extremely hard. But we got through it. And our culture, I think, our values, which were stronger than the changes that we were facing within our operations, really shined through. And it really came down to the people. No matter what, our guests were happy. We were making sure that they were happy with their experience, that they were happy with the food. And that carried us to a point where, you know, things came back to normal. And we reimagined certain aspects of the operation and rhythm again in other aspects of the operation.
Would you say, you've mentioned it a couple times, but it seems to me, I don't know if it's a secret sauce, but what it seems you love about this business and also what it seems is a tribute to the incredible success you've had with Jacob's Pickles is culture and love of talking to people and making, like you just said, making sure they have a smile on their face or seeing that smile on their face when the food's delivered to the table. And it seems to me that is a very key component to the success you've had, obviously outside of the food itself. But it seems to me like that really is been a big driver of the success that you've achieved. I don't know. Is that
when I get that response, I've won. For me, that's a win. We were never training to upsell. We were never training to... For me, it came down to, I'm proud of everything on this menu, stand behind it, I'm excited about it, get it in front of people, let them choose what they want, let them experience it for themselves. Something that I preach to my team is that we're fortunate to get the type of guests that we get, because they're coming into experiencing Jacobs in a very excited way. They're like really looking forward to it. And a lot of times it's return customers, and a lot of times it's first time customers, and it's based on what they heard from their friends, loved ones, etc. We need to honor that. That's what I preach with my team. You know, they're coming here. They could have chosen anywhere to dine in New York City. It's an extremely competitive market. And not only are they coming to dine with us, they might be waiting an hour or more to sit with us. So whatever we do, no matter how tedious the job is, how busy of a night it has been, we have to make each guest feel just as special as the first person that day. And it comes down to just the people, taking care of our people, making sure they're taking care of our guests, and just that building organically through people. When we started, social media was not what it is today. It was all word of mouth. I hadn't posted something on Facebook or Instagram, I don't think, for years. The time came where the market evolved, and that was a big part of what you did, how you marketed yourself. And I was shocked to discover how much content was already on Instagram, for example, about Jacobs Pickles through just user-generated content. It was a real passion about it. And for me, that was my motivation. When people got excited, they were happy. It made me happy. And it made me keep doing what I did, and just motivated me to keep doing it.
Awesome. In the time we have left, I want to ask you, obviously you've been successful with your restaurants in New York now. And I know you have plans to open up Jacobs Pickles in Norwalk, Connecticut. How do you envision the business, and how do you see yourself being able to oversee at this point all of these different restaurants under your watch?
Yeah, so our expansion has been extremely organic. We never grew beyond what we thought we could manage really well. Jacob opens Maison Pickle, our sister restaurant, opened 5 years later. It opened only a block away. That was the same idea of why, you know, Jacobs in South Norwalk opened only an hour away from New York City. Same idea. With every project, we test our infrastructure. My position, my job has shifted from pacing up and down the dining room, as I did once, to building the infrastructure of the operation. I think culture is extremely important. We're passing that down, starting with me, passing it down to all my top managers, who are passing it down to their managers within the operations. And I think that in combination with just hiring the right people, investing in people who are invested, which was another important lesson that I learned from early in my career. Always made great hires along the way, good fits for the operation. But I was investing so much time into members that weren't planning to stay in the industry. Just a knack for people, a knack for hospitality, but ultimately had different plans. And that kind of made it harder for us to build the foundation that we have had today with the homegrown talent that are guiding Pickle Hospitality further.
Yeah. I want to ask you before I let you go, you see all these restaurants, a lot of restaurants pop up. And if you were to give advice to someone starting a restaurant today, and let's say in New York City, because I know it's different in all areas, but if you were to give advice to a first-time restaurateur, and what would you say to that person to try and help them be successful?
So first and foremost, get into it for the right reasons. I think a lot of people just stumble upon this industry. I think you have to love it. It just takes an unbelievable amount of work to be successful in the business. You have to be extremely committed. You have to be personally in the position to be fully invested, especially the first few years that you're launching. And again, like I mentioned, it's with the seasons and especially with launching a new operation, there's a lot of cost that comes with it. The margins are extremely thin in this business. At any point, whether it's at the beginning or you're a 25-year vet in the business, no matter what, you always have to have a cushion to survive the downturn of the operation. Jacob's Pickles, in fact, not only did I have to reopen it for COVID, that restaurant has been opened 3 times. When we launched, after a fire in the neighboring building, and then again, after we're extremely lucky to be in the position to be able to do that, to be able to survive, and to be able to carry through during those periods. And that exists, that could exist at any point, at any time, and especially when you're first launching. There's gonna be periods where, you know, when those 14-day terms with the vendors hit, you're going to have to be able to carry that. And you have things like payroll, and you got to take care of your people. You have to make sure that the operation is healthy so that you can take care of your guests and to create the sort of cycle of success.
Jacob, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. Yeah, it's really incredible. As I've said, I walk by and the place is jammed every Saturday or Sunday when I'm walking by. And it's awesome to know that the guy inside who's pacing up and down, or at least was, is a good guy. So again, appreciate you coming on, and best of luck with all the new endeavors. And hopefully one day the Knicks will give you a championship to celebrate.
It's coming this year.
Oh boy, okay.
Putting it out there.
I like the optimism. All right.
Yeah, definitely getting closer, if anything.
You are. All right. I appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Be careful. Bye.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to How Success Happens wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Wednesday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And if you like to share, please feel free to pass along the show to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost, and I could always use the subscribers. And do you have ideas for guests? I always love to hear about great entrepreneurs. If you know anyone, shoot me an email at hsh@entrepreneur.com or on Twitter at Robert Tuchman, that's RobertTuchman, or even send me a message on LinkedIn. How Success Happens is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for insight on building your business, or even better yet, subscribe to our magazine. No joke, I found my first job after reading about a company in Entrepreneur Magazine back in the 1990s. It's always been my absolute favorite magazine for entrepreneurs. Thanks for listening and spending some time with me today. Until next time, my name is Robert Tuchman, just a fellow entrepreneur and your host. See you soon.